Susie Thorpe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Oh, that is low, isn't it? That's Blue Moon and the Marcels. Talking about Blue Moon and seeing the Blue Moon, we have here Cambridge Zero Carbon Society, and we've got Edie Turner and Jack Shearer Clark from the Society. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank
very
you.
Nice to have you here indeed. Now, we just want to talk a little bit about, first of all, the Cambridge Zero Carbon Society. Now, the main urge, or the main movement at the moment, is to get Cambridge University to divest in the fossil fuel industry. Who'd like to start, and how long has this campaign been going on?
So the campaign itself has been going for, this is its fourth year now, I think, of like really kind of high profile campaigning. It's taken the form of like legal lobbying, like going through the official processes of the university, obviously like outreach to students and media and things like that. And then also kind of more recently, as the situation's got a bit more desperate, some more kind of direct actions and disrupting meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
So a nice kind of broad range of irons and fires.
And the Cambridge, am I right in saying that the Cambridge Zero Carbon Society is began in 2000 as a group of students, scientists, economists and professionals all coming together to recognise something needs to be done to stop this fossil fuel industry literally taking over and giving us some greenhouse gases?
Yeah. I think one of the best things about the group at the moment is we're kind of linked up all around the university with the demilitarized movement and the defend education, because it's kind of, especially now, all part of the same thing, like the marketization of the uni, the fact that it's not upholding its own democratic processes, but also, you know, it's a great group to be involved in because we have staff who are like who are very sympathetic. We have students, we have people on the university council who are part of Zero Carbon, so it's like all over the university kind of family, people are getting involved.
Yeah, there's been an explosion of membership. 40, 50 people come regularly, and there's weekly meetings and a much wider email base that involve in actions on when they can.
So it sounds like you do have a lot of support, and how much communication directly with the most important department for this, with Cambridge University? How much are you liaising with them?
So we've had a lot in the past. It kind of like flares up and comes down. So there are things like we've been involved in all of the democratic processes, from like JCR, kind of individual college motions for divestment. We've had student council passing a unanimous vote for divestment. We've had Regent House, which is the main democratic body of the university, also passing a motion for divestment. We've had one member of Zero Carbon on the divestment working group, but unfortunately she felt she had to resign due to them not upholding what we believe was their responsibility towards divestment.
So there's been the funding of the founding of the college campaign this year, where we're looking at working with individual fellows and the trustees and the treasurers of the individual colleges to work on trying to work on that level as well.
Okay.
So there's been Downing colleges recently divested, and Queen's last year already did.
What,
so
divested?
Seeing, yes, full
oh,
divestment.
Right, so
two colleges have fully divested.
So can we just explain to the listeners and all of us here, divestment, what exactly do you mean by divestment?
So Zero Carbon has, like, there's a few different definitions, but the definitions that we work with is that for a university college to be fully divested, we want them to commit to divestment within 5 years. That's pulling all of their direct and indirect investments from the top 200 fossil fuel companies as defined by Carbon Underground. You can look that up online and see those companies and who they are and a bit more about what they mean. But we also think that it's important for the university to withdraw any sponsorship from fossil fuel companies and cease to invite them to speak.
Yeah. And the time plan, is there, it's important to have a time plan because sometimes people just get bored of a subject and then you need to reimagine it, don't you, a bit? But what is the time plan? Have you given yourself a time plan for this?
Well, we've told, as part of the divestment, we're calling on there was an open letter that was sent and signed by over 200 Cambridge academics last term, which called for the investment office to fully divest within 5 years.
Mm.
And we think that's enough time to for the investment board to work with consultancy firms to work out where their indirect investments are located and to manage to divest within that timescale. We think it's fair.
And What do you think are the, what do you think, which companies at Cambridge, are you actually identifying some of the companies that really need some, and you know, some attention? I mean, what sort of industries, I was talking about the sort of fuels, really, is it drilling, is it fracking that is most important to you?
Well, it's more like, I mean, obviously all of these technologies are really important, and there are types of fossil fuel extraction that are much worse than others, but for us, it's the key issue is just the involvement of certain companies in the university. So I've spoken to like fresher engineering students, for example, who are really really frustrated that the engineering textbooks are sponsored by Shell, and there is a letter from Shell on the front cover. The engineering lab coats are sponsored by BP, and there's a BP logo on there. Like, Shell and BP are huge investors in individual colleges, in the West Cambridge site, in there's kind of involvement of them all over the university, and so it's really difficult to uphold democratic processes when you've got, you know, unanimous votes from the student body saying that we want divestment, and yet the fingers of these companies are all over the university. So you can see how it makes it quite tricky.
Yeah, so Shell, for example, has an annual lecture every year at Cambridge, and also many of the senior officials in the university and the council have personal ties, and there's quite a revolving door system with people working for companies on the side or leaving them and then being part of the university council decision making about investment decisions.
It does sound very complicated, and it's just taking a step by step, isn't it, and trying to change the culture and the attitude. And as you say, looking at you, it's younger generation coming in from the sort of the early stages and going up and seeing if they can do it. It's the only way sometimes to do this. But shareholders, do they have a responsibility in the companies? Do you try and go with them, or are you trying to really account for Cambridge University?
I think as Zero Carbon, we're mainly focused on the university, because we think that university divestment like can have such a big impact, not only because I think the Cambridge University has one of the biggest like endowment funds in the UK, and also because of the social impact that Cambridge University, the name Cambridge University, carries. And it's actually, you know, quite shameful. There's over 50 universities in the UK have already divested. Cambridge calls itself a social leader, and yet where is its action on this?
Yeah, so there's huge financial ties. There's £337 million estimated to be invested in, as we said, biggest endowment fund, about £5.9 billion. But, so there's the financial side, but there's also the social side of an institution like Cambridge endorsing it when over half of other universities have divested. And there's been huge publicity, and big names like John Monbiot and Noam Chomsky and Naomi Klein signed the open letter last term.
Okay.
And Rowan Williams as well, the ex Archbishop of Canterbury, have come out in support of the open letter. So
yeah, good point. I read about that, actually.
Yeah, so as a student group, we think like that's where we can have most impact, because it's where we have the best like access to, rather than trying to go after the companies themselves and their shareholders. Mm. I think that's more of a kind of public action rather than a necessarily like student body action.
And I read very recently that the divestment working group for Cambridge University university came back and said that they recognise that climate change is a real and present danger. And it's quoted as, although continued dialogue and suggestions are always welcome, the university is primarily focused on implementing the numerous and wide-ranging commitments it has made in response to the DWG report. Are you fairly confident with that?
Yeah, well. So there was a grace note passed by Regent House in May 2017 that called for full divestment of the university, which was passed by the democratic body of the university.
Mm.
But the council decided to respond by setting up the divestment working group to decide whether the university should divest, and so ignored that mandate straight off. And we know currently that 4 out of 16 of the members of the divestment working group had personal ties to the fossil fuel industry. And as we said, whilst a member of Zero Carbon was involved but had to resign as a result of the...
I see, yes.
So we don't really trust that they have the student body's best interests at heart, really. Right. And whilst obviously we are like super pro any kind of move towards environmentalism, we think that it's such a time sensitive issue. You know, we have 11 years now.
Well, we only have to realise that, but on the TV recently we saw Sir David Attenborough, didn't we, issue some real stark warnings about the world, basically, and how we have a certain amount of time. And I think he is quoting as saying that he urged people to care for them, respect the planet. He said, extermination whole systems. We're actually seeing it happen without even noticing. And that is shocking, isn't it? That we can't even see it now, but it's all happening. Now, I just want to talk to you about you. Know a lot, and it's really impressive that you're on this, which is great. But I just want to know a bit about your background. You've come to university, you're first year students. You look like you're completely on this, which is great. But have you always been very interested in this? I say always. I mean, you had how many years there are? Are you 20?
I'm 20.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is impressive. Where? How have you come into this? What's been your attitude before Cambridge?
So for me, I've kind of always been quite passionate about environmentalism and about kind of trying to do a bit of good with my life in the world. But it wasn't until I started out doing a bit of volunteering in places. Like I went to Calais in the refugee camps when I was 17, while the jungle was closing, and there it was like a real slap in the face for me because I went in from the humanitarian side, like you know, passionate about the refugee crisis, and I came out really aware of how many people there are climate refugees. And the UN estimates that there'll be 250 million climate refugees by 2050. So there's kind of that, and then I went away traveling on a gap year and saw loads of the kind of things that you see as social problems actually stemming from environmental problems. And so that for me was kind of the turning point where I pushed myself more and got more interested in environmental direct actions.
Edie, that's impressive. And Jack, how about you?
Well, I was quite involved in the Green Party in the southwest near Bristol, in the Stroud area, and luckily we had Maurice Scott Cato, is a fantastic MEP who was representing us in Europe, and hearing about her work really motivated me to get involved in climate issues. But it was only until getting involved, coming to Cambridge, and also with the founding of Extinction Rebellion and the campaigns that they've done, and going to London, and just the mass mobilisation that's suddenly happening among people of my friends and our age group in general.
Yeah, and my parents. And like, you know,
I wasn't going to ask you about your parents, but I'm glad you brought it up, because I always think it should be about you individuals. But now you have brought up, how has this influenced you then?
It's been a little bit of a process of me consistently trying to turn my parents to a vegan diet and things like that. But I think the time-sensitive issue and the fact that people are mobilising themselves is really inspiring. So like a lot of Extinction Rebellion is led by kind of the older generation, which I think as a younger person is really like heartening to see, because we often think that it's their fault and you're not listening to us, and that kind of narrative that was surrounding Brexit a lot of the time. But there's so many inspiring like older people sharing their wisdom, getting up on the front lines. I think it's really amazing.
Well, that is good.
And it's amazing legitimisation as well, because so often with these issues, people think, well, it's a naive and idealistic youth, and to some extent it can be. But when you see the mass mobilisation that's been happening with Extinction Rebellion, I think you can see it's a cross-cultural, cross-age spectrum, and it's... yeah, heartening to see.
So the way forward, and you were talking earlier, Edie and Jack, both of you, about impact and how you can really get a lot more people involved. I mean, you're doing a great amount of work already, which is great. And I get the impression that Cambridge University want this, but it's just really hard to implement it in many ways. I know Edie's biting her lip there. She's not quite sure if that's right or not.
Well, it's definitely supported by most academics and students. Over 2,000 students have signed petitions calling for divestment, and many JCRs have passed motions. Over 360 academics have signed open letters calling for divestment. It's really the narrow, small elite of the university that have been opposed to it, and that's what's made change so difficult.
So the impact then, what are we doing? Because I was talking to you earlier, I've got another guest coming in at 11:30, and they were highlighting the traditions of, well, they'll be talking to us about highlighting the traditions of Cambridge and molly dancing, and they did a flash mob. Now, it's things like that, and the internet and social media, and whatever bad negative feelings we're getting about social media is fantastic for things like this.
Definitely.
And would you consider doing a flash mob? I know I don't want to belittle it. I don't, because that's not what I want to do here, but I'm just trying to think of impacts. Yeah. And you probably thought of that too.
Well, we had a rally which combined the... it had under the banner of divestment, decolonize, and demilitarize last term. And that was an amazing turnout. We had 200 people in King's Parade with flares, with pots and pans.
Oh, yes, that was in November, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I saw that in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Also, like, in the history of the movement, there have been loads of those kind of performative actions. Like, there was last Valentine's Day, there was a kind of fake wedding between the university and Shell. And so those kind of things... But yeah, I think it's a balance, and one of the areas that we've identified within Zero Carbon that we need to work on is community outreach, because quite often a lot of the actions that we do tend to be confined within the university walls, as much as we try and take them in solidarity with people suffering on the front line of climate crisis, for example in the Niger Delta when we did our action in solidarity with MOSOP, the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People. So we do try and, you know, link it outwards, but linking out with the Cambridge like local community, I think, is something that we can work a lot harder
on. Do you think, though, that with this, that people think it's not going to affect me? Is there always that link where how can we make us feel as if it's going to affect us? And I'm sure you've done lots of things, but if you could do something else, what would be, from learning from all what you've done and the society, what would be more impact? besides the social media and the flash mob.
I think we're going to have another open assembly to try and get people in Cambridge involved. Yeah. And there's more skill shares and great talks by people who are senior in the society, who know a lot more about climate science and who managed to share the skills they've developed over the 3 years and the information about the scale of the catastrophe that we're currently facing. There's people who, we are humanity students, but there's people who work in biology who know a lot about the mass extinction that's going on and species being going extinct at 1,000 times the rate before humans existed. And so getting people involved and spreading that information, I think, really brings home the urgency to people.
I think for me, like, I would love some way to feel like I can empower people more, because quite often I think people, even when they do, like, they do educate themselves with the kind of the facts, it can be daunting and it can be terrifying. And in fact, the community, I think, is such a huge part of any kind of campaign. And so, yeah, getting people to feel like, no, there is a place that you can go to and you know, vent these feelings and emotions, and there is something that you can do about it to feel like you are making a change. Yeah, I think it's really important. And I think we're seeing that in people standing up more and more and taking direct actions, and, you know, not direct actions, like writing to their MPs and things like that. That's also so important as well.
Well, I'm really impressed, and thank you so much for coming in today, and long may it last, this society, and get something going.
Edie
Turner
much.
And Jack Shearer Clark. Have
Thanks
I got
so
that right?
Did.
Thank you for coming in today, the Cambridge Zero Carbon Society.